month or so ago, dealing with the real church still works. And there are some thinking the church has failed. And we started out in this series saying God knows what He's doing. He's the one that started the church. He's the one that will keep it going. He has it headed in the right direction. It does not need to be replaced. It does not need to be renewed. And we also talked about those that would like to change things. We gave you some ideas from the church growth gurus that tell you what you need to do. And in order to grow your church, normally you've got to be more in transition. You've got to be ready for some major changes. You cannot continue with the same thinking that you had before, that you need to, a lot of times, change your ideas about the old King James Bible, and that you need to change your ideas about music and music that honors the Lord. You want to look at music that honors the Lord, just look at Ephesians 5. And verses right there deal with music that is God-honoring and the kind of music that I believe that God wants to hear. And it's right there in verse 19, Ephesians 5, verse 19. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but that's a good place to go. And you can find exactly the kind of music that God likes to listen to and that He would have us being involved in. We talked about what the church is. Looked at the basis. We looked at the word ecclesia, and we studied the etymology of the word, and that a church must do one thing to be a church, and what must it do to be a church? It's got to assemble. It's got to. If it doesn't assemble, it's not a church. It's something else. Today, we have many that are sort of confused on this, and they have created a new doctrine called the Universal Invisible Church. And they say everybody that's saved is in the church. No, no, no. Everybody that's saved is in the family of God. You've got to be baptized in order to be in a church. We spent a number of lessons on the manner of the church, the motive of the church, the ordinances of the church. We spent just a little bit on those. Now we're going to get into the practical part of ministry. What is it all about? This is sort of a introduction style message to that area and that direction. First Timothy chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight, and we'll get right in this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God and commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jugglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we would know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious people, persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Well, a lot to deal with there. We'll get into that tonight. Father, bless now. As we look at what ministry is all about, as we examine it, and we look at church life in a general sense, I pray you would help us to understand these truths. Give us wisdom from heaven. Guide our thinking. Might the Lord illuminate our minds, and the Holy Spirit have free course to work in every heart. Guide us through the Word tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things I think we need to clarify or state in the very beginning, as this is sort of the introduction to the practical side of ministry, one of the things is pretty clear right here, and Christians that are mature and that love God are not bothered by the law. You hear what I said? Christians that are mature and that love God are not bothered by the law. In fact, that we see the law was given to manifest the opposite. The law was given to show those that would not live right, that would not do right. The law, thou shalt not kill, is not a burden to a man that loves God. I'm not going to kill anyway. The commandment, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou will not live wrong. Those things don't bother me because I don't want to live that way anyway. I don't want to do those things. But there would be those that would follow down that road. Now, what we're going to do in this area of concern, this area of study, we're going to see principles on a number of areas. These are all going to be practical principles of ministry. We're going to look at the preacher. That we won't start that tonight. We're only going to spend about 2 minutes on that. But we're going to look at the preacher, and we'll probably start that next week, and we'll spend some time there. We're going to look at ministry and what the ministry should consist of. We're going to look at church life and what your church life should be, and try to get a good practical application out of the pastoral epistles to find out exactly what the church life should be. And again, this is a general practical look at it. Now, let's understand ministry in a practical sense. What are we doing? What are we doing in a ministry? What should be our goal? What should we try to accomplish? I think one of the things that we ought to be able to find in ministry, in a church setting, is a church ought to be involved in the ministry of helps. I think we need to be a helping church, willing to help one another, willing to try to be a blessing one to another. But also, we need to be a ministry that tries to be a blessing to those outside of our church. And let's just sort of clarify that. I'm talking about missionaries. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about evangelists. I'm talking about full-time servants of God. When they hear of Harvest Baptist Church, it ought to be refreshing to them. It ought to be a blessing to them. Just like the Church of Thessalonica was a model church, and the Word of God sounded forth from them. And everybody that came across that church in Thessalonica remembered that church. They talked about that church. Not that everybody was fighting and fussing, but how much they loved the Lord and how much they talked about the Lord and what they wanted to do for the Lord. And there was the spirit of work in that church. Now, you can normally tell the spirit of a church when you walk into it. You can normally sense it. And you can sense if people are friendly, you can sense it. If people are stuck up. How many of you have been to a stuck up church? Well, I'm telling you, that's where you can walk in and out five times and never get your hand shook. You know, people are just not friendly. And the pastor can get up and he can say, "All right, be friendly, be friendly, be friendly." But if people do not want to be friendly, you're not going to make them be friendly. It's got to be from in here. It's got to be in the heart. It's got to be something inside us. We ought to be desirous when we have missions conference. I'm looking forward to our missions conference. And you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that every missionary comes through here in our missions emphasis time. I pray every missionary comes through here can be encouraged, can be strengthened, can find a friend in this place. They ought to be refreshed. They ought to be refreshed because they've been here. I always like it when the Vacation Bible School team at Heartland starts calling around and we get new guys that come in here from Heartland that have just started on the Vacation Bible School team. And here's what they'll normally say. "Oh, yeah, we've heard about your Vacation Bible School. We've heard you guys go all out." And we do. We put a real big emphasis on Vacation Bible School. And then the next thing the guys will say is, "All right, we understand you're going to let us preach while we're here." Normally, they go to places and they don't get to preach. We let them preach. And we try to hone their skills, too, while they're here. And our people become their friend. And we communicate to them just all the time. I mean, we've been called by the Vacation Bible School guys that have been gone 5 years ago. And they're still calling us and talking to us. And it's been an encouragement to be a blessing to those guys. The next thing I hear is this. "Can we go to Western Skies?" They love to go to a steakhouse that we have down here. Then I hear this. I hear this. "Can we go shooting? Does Ben have his machine gun?" That's what I hear. And they've already heard about it. And they're excited about going, to do those things. We make it also fun for them. We do work them. We work them hard. But we do make it fun for them. They enjoy it. They talk about it. And we appreciate that. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to have missionaries come through here and go, "Boy, I'm refreshed. You people love the Lord." And it's an encouragement to the ones that pass through here. Another thing that we want to have in ministry here is that God undoubtedly, with a ministry that has a vision of winning souls, a ministry that has a vision for ministry to other people. When you have that style of ministry, you know what happens? Undoubtedly, God calls people out of that ministry. And we have young ones around here that have surrendered to preach. They've said, "Yes, I believe God's calling me." Different areas of ministry, maybe some to missions, maybe some to the youth ministry, maybe some to the pastorate, just different areas. And I've always said this, like we have Brother Steve back there. He just graduated from Heartland. We got Brother Aaron Martin coming here in a month or so, and he's going to be an intern from Heartland Baptist Bible College, he and his wife. And why are they coming back here? Why did Brother Steve come back here? We're training him. We're helping him. We're preparing him for greater ministry. We're going to do the same thing with Aaron. I want to do the same thing with every young man that's been called out of this ministry. I believe your local church ought to prepare you. And folks, when I went to Bible college, I thank God for my local church because I was solid in what I believed. I knew what I believed. And I was very solid in those things. And boy, I sure needed it when I got to Bible college. I had no idea I was going to run into people that believed in Arminian theology. In a Bible college, a Baptist college. And then I ran into the Calvinists. And sure enough, they were there. And folks, I thank God that we don't see those kinds of things at Heartland Baptist Bible College. But in other colleges, you can see those kinds of things. And we've got to prepare these young people for the ministry and get them ready. I've always tried to treat missionaries, preachers, men of God in a special way. I've always tried that. I've always tried to encourage missionaries. You know why? You know why? Because I knew one day my son might be a missionary. My son might be a preacher. And I sure wanted him dealt right. I wanted people to deal right with him. And so I wanted to deal right with those kinds of people in my life. And we learned that kind of thing in ministry. See, I said this Wednesday night. It's a blessing when a missionary comes in here. They're new and we know their name. We're looking forward for them to come. We've met them. We've introduced ourselves. And they know that we've been expecting them. It's a sad day when a missionary walks into a door and nobody knows that he was even coming. And they might say, "Oh, man, we're having a missionary night. Nobody told me." That's sad. And we need to understand that. Now, realize this. We're talking about basic things in ministry. We're talking about practical things in our church life right here at Harvest Baptist Church. I want to have a ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church, and I want it, this is sort of selfish, I want it for me. You go, "What do you mean?" If you folks are hungry for the Word of God, and you're looking forward to hearing good Bible preaching, that makes it easier for me. Because I don't have to worry about you sitting back there sleeping. Because I don't want to have to be trying to preach over your snores. Amen. You realize people that are involved, people that are watching, people that are in tune, make the preacher preach faster. Do you realize that? Amen. You know what amen does? That's like saying sick 'em to the preacher. So amens help a lot. Got one. Amen? Amen. They do help. And realize this. I want the right relationship with this church. I'm the pastor. I'm not a dictator. I'm a man that uses our deacons for wisdom. They give me good counsel. We vote on things. But I want you to understand, I've been here now for a number of years. How many years I've been here, Lavelle? She knows. I guarantee she knows. 14. All right. Almost. Okay. And that's a blessing. Amen. I'm glad somebody keep up with all that stuff. I can't hardly keep up with it. The honeymoon's over. Amen? You get what you got. Huh? Amen. That's it. And you know, we went through a transition from Brother McGoy to me coming. And I know I have a different style of ministry than Brother McGoy. I have a different way of preaching. I have a different way of dealing with people. But it all ought to be directed by the Bible. Amen? God's Word ought to be directing it and guiding us. We might have different goals. But we ought to have the same doctrine. Now, how do we get to the place? Sometimes churches can get so familiar with a pastor that they develop a ho-hum attitude. And it sort of is a staleness, to where they might say, well, here we go again. And understand that I think staleness and this ho-hum attitudes developed, I think it can be stopped. And here's how it can be stopped. By both of us being fresh in the Word of God. By us being new in the Word of God. You know what that takes? Cold, hard study. That takes getting into the Word of God and finding things, finding nuggets, finding truths. Not necessarily new stuff, but it's new excitement that God has put in your heart about the Word of God. We need that. We need that in our church. Those are just some practical things that we need. Now, let's look at some of these verses. Look at verse number 3. He talked about those. He says, As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, doctrine is preached around here. We're not going to depart from it. We're not going to be ashamed of it. We're going to preach doctrine. But that's not all we're going to preach. We're going to also, teach other things and preach other things. Preaching doctrine is very important. Jesus was a doctrine preacher. His disciples were doctrine preachers. But I believe this. I believe that good Bible preaching is characterized by simplicity. I don't mean it's simple. I mean we can bring it down to where we can understand it and apply it to our lives. It ought to be something that we can have application to. And it can help you in your personal life. And folks, I believe we can get that right out of the Word of God. What do we try to do in our preaching? We try to preach some deep things, but we also try to feed the ones that are not so deep. The ones that are, just now maturing. You know why we do that? Because there's different levels of maturity in this church. We're not all on the same level. And we're growing, we're developing, we are maturing. And we've got to understand that, that's part of ministry. We've got to be shored up. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times. We've got to teach people what they believe and why they believe it. It's right here in the Word of God. I get saddened when I hear this from a parent. Well, I'm going to just let my kids make their own decision about theology. I'm not going to give them any direction. They can just choose what they want to be. That's very sad. That's very sad when that parent won't take the responsibility to teach their children what's right. And it's happening. I've heard it right here. People have come in this church and have visited. And folks, I believe that's part of the father's responsibility. And here's the problem. A lot of times we got lazy fathers. They don't want to grow in the Word of God. They're not having any personal devotions at home with their family. They're not spending any time in the Word of God with their wives or with their children. And folks, I believe that is vitally, vitally important. This ought to enhance what you're doing at home right here. Amen. It should. And we need to definitely understand this. Now look at verse number 4. The Bible says that there were those that were going along, they were teaching that teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables. I mean, don't listen to these guys full of fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. And here, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. I mean, there are those that would, they would leave the simplicity of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they'd leave doctrine, and they'd start teaching maybe in rhetoric. You go, what is that? What's rhetoric? Well, that's influencing people with your charm, with your great abilities, with your oratory, with the ability to speak. Folks, you know what? You don't need great ability. You don't need to listen to great influence. You know what you need to apply? The Word of God. The Bible. The Bible is what ought to direct you. And there were those that were given over to these fables and endless genealogies. And it was causing questions. And they were looking at their Jewish history. And they wanted to look back at the importance of Jewish history. And they wanted to get away from some of the simple teachings of the Word of God. Verse number 6 tells us, from which some having swerved, they've deviated from the truth. They've swerved away from it. They've missed the mark. And they've gone into vain jagglings. And you go, well, what is that, Brother Ron? Well, I wrote the Greek word down. I thought you would be interested in it. The Greek word is madhyogiaha. Did you get that? Huh? Brother Giles, did you get that? All right. Mel, repeat that word. It's a lot of nothing. Huh? It's a lot of hot air. Huh? People can just speak. Have you ever heard somebody speak and they spoke for 10 minutes and you're still wondering what they're saying? Huh? I've heard people do that. It just goes on and on. And finally, you go, I better stay awake here. Huh? Yeah, and you have to sort of prop your eyes open. I mean, we have those that can go with their formulas, their philosophies. And here's the problem. They have very little Bible. Very little Word of God. And we've got to be very careful there. I understand that there's certain things that a ministry ought to have in it. Folks, these types of things that Paul's writing to Timothy hurt people. They make them unstable. Look at verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then he names them. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? And he declares right there, Timothy, these guys are bad dudes. Look out. Folks, sometimes you've got to do that. Now, what are the must of ministry? This is a practical church. This is a practical ministry. I believe there are three must in the ministry that we've got to maintain. And again, this being the introduction message to getting into the practical side of it, I believe a ministry should be built around three things. Paul touched on those three things in chapter 1, verse 5. Look at what he says, verse number 5. Here's the bottom line of ministry right here. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. That's the first one. That they should have a ministry of charity out of a pure heart. I've got to confess something to you. Being a pastor, I've been in the ministry now since 1970. You can figure that. That's how long I've been in the ministry. I've been in ministry a long time. Have you ever thought in your life as you're growing you wish you could go back and redo a few things? How many of you ever done that? You look at your marriage and you wish you could have redo a couple of things, and maybe disciplines of children or however children were dealt with. You know, you wish you could redo a couple of things. And how you treated somebody, you wish you could redo that. I wish I could redo the first 10 years of my ministry. It wasn't bad. It was very successful. And one of the things that really has been a burden to my heart has been loving people. I wish I could go back and learn. I wish I could go back and I knew what I know right now. How to love people. And I had a member of our church, Bible Baptist Church in Norman, Oklahoma. Had them a lady come up to me and say, Brother Ron, you ought to show us you love us more. Sometimes you don't want to hear those kinds of things. I was a pretty hard-nosed preacher. I was young, full of zap and vinegar. I was going to, skin a few of them on Sunday morning, maybe skin one or two Sunday night, and straighten everybody out. Well, I tell you what, my approach to ministry has changed. I think it's very important to show people you love them. You care for them. And you go out of your way to be a blessing to them. We need that in ministry. But we can become so calloused in ministry and doing and going and just holding the line and all of that, that we forget to tell people we love them. We care for them. We appreciate them. And folks, we need to have that in our ministry. The ability to love God's people and to show them that love. I need that. And we can become so regimented. Look at Jesus. Stop and look at Him for a moment. He was the Son of God. He was full of wisdom. He was holy. He was righteous. But what is it that drew people to Him? He loved them. And they could sense it. A genuine compassion from God. They could sense it. They knew He cared. It wasn't shallow. It was an intense care. It was a passion. When was the last time you cared for somebody like that? We need to care for people. We need to care for people's souls. I was reading a story about one of the men that was killed by the Aki Indians, Jim Elliott. And he wrote in his journal some things that he wanted in his life. And he said this in people's lives, I don't want to be just a fence post they pass by and see and hear and they just keep driving on. He said, I want to be a fork in the road where I bring him to a decision about Jesus. They either say yes or no. And folks, do you realize the gospel is confrontational? How many times have you told somebody, they need to be saved? And they are a sinner and they need Christ. When was the last time you definitely witness to somebody? You left them to the point of yes or no. When was the last time you really witnessed to somebody? You say, well, I can't remember. Something's wrong in your life then. Something's not right, Christian. You ought to be able to remember the last time you had a person at that point. Yes, they may have rejected. They may say no. But at least they made a decision. You go, well, Brother Ron, we're supposed to plant the seed too. Yes, we are. We definitely are. But when was the last time you were so serious about it that you had a person either ready to say yes or no, I want to be saved, or no, I don't want to be saved? The Bible says here, charity out of a pure heart. Now, that's love, charity. Now, what's charity? Well, you can find it in 1 Corinthians 13. Here's a few things about charity. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Does not promote self. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not unruly. That's what charity is all about. Do you care? Do you care for people? One of the first things we need in ministry is a charity out of a pure heart. We need to care for people's souls. Right here in this place. Everybody that's here, we ought to care for the people's souls that come into this place. This morning, how many people did you pray for this morning? How many people? How many times did you pray somebody would get saved this morning? We get so busy doing church, we forget to actually do it. I'll pray for you. That's the last that's heard. Folks, we better get serious about ministry. We better. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe He's coming. With what I see going on right now in the political situation over around Israel, I believe Jesus is coming. And we better busy ourselves about ministry. We need to be concerned about people's souls. I mean, boy, I love our Bible club where we go and we have the opportunity to present the gospel that the kids have never heard. I love that we have junior church back there for kids and they can hear the gospel again. I think every place in this church that people ought to be hearing the gospel. Every phrase of the ministry, they ought to be hearing the gospel. Hey, folks, realize this, charity out of a pure heart. Another thing that we see, verse 5, not only charity out of a pure heart, but we ought to have a good conscience. Now, what causes us to have a bad conscience? What causes a person to have a bad conscience? Pretending. Pretense. Imagine every night that Judas went to bed was not a good night. You know why? He never had a clear conscience. And folks, people can start playing church. But they're not sold out to church. They're not sold out to ministry. They're not sold out to it. And all of a sudden, they start playing it, and they got a bad conscience. Remember, now and then the Holy Spirit comes their way and they feel bad and they go, man, I should have done something, but I'll just go on. Folks, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about something, you got to do business with the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? I want to have pure conscience. I don't want to play. I want to have a pure conscience towards the ministry, towards my Lord.
Boy, I hope we're serious about this. But notice there's a third thing here that's a bottom line in ministry. Charity out of a pure heart. A good conscience. And then the last thing that we need in ministry is so very important. Realize this. We ought to have faith unfeigned. You go, well, what is that? Faith unfeigned. It means without assimilation or hypocrisy. You go, well, I don't know what that means, Brother Ron. What exactly is that saying to me? All right, let's just bring it home. Let's just bring it where the rubber meets the road. You ought to be here what you are at home. There should be no difference. Whoa. There should be no difference. Are we genuine? Do you realize that a genuine ministry that loves people with pure conscience, the Spirit of God's going to be in that place. People are going to come in this place and they're either going to sense the Spirit of God's here or they're going to walk out that back door and say, boy, God's not even in that place. You can sense it. I told you a couple weeks ago, I walked into a church in Kansas that, man, you could tell the devil had been in that place. They were split. They were fighting. They were fussing. And I told them, they asked me, they said, well, Pastor, what do you think about our church? I said, I don't think you need to call a pastor. I think you need a gunslinger. You need to get in here and clean this place out. There's some people wanting to destroy this place. And folks, that's sad. It's sad when a church gets to that point where this side's fighting against that side and that side doesn't like this side. And all of a sudden, yes, we all have grievances. I mean, we can all have grievances against one another, but that destroys the unity in a church. Right now, I don't know of any issues developing in our church. Don't know of any. But folks, they can crop up real fast if we don't take care of them, and if we don't have a right relationship with one another. A church can be ruined if it doesn't tend to ministry. Every now and then, you know what you kind of preaching you need? Maintenance preaching. You go, what does that mean? Good maintenance. Just shoring it up. Every now and then, we need that. Next week, we're going to get into what the pastor should be. Boy, oh boy. Oh. You go, oh boy, I've been waiting for this one. Well, we're also going to deal with the church member and what he should be. Amen? We're going to get down to the practical side of ministry. Might we push forward with a charity? Oh, I forgot him. Charity out of a pure heart, a conscience that is straight. Oh, forgive me. Charity out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and then lastly, a faith unfeigned. Might we see this ministry have such things in it? Maybe tonight you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You realize you're a sinner, but you've never accepted Him. This would be a good night to receive Christ. If you find yourself as a Christian in this place, and you find yourself needing to do business with the Lord, we invite you to come. Would you come? Let's all stand to our feet, bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then the piano will play. And as God speaks to your heart,